Welcome back to Up the Villa podcast. This is our tactical debrief for Aston Villa 3, Bournemouth 1. And as you can see, Unai Emery is in the building. I have officially been inducted into the Unai Emery School of Football Tactics. I think I've done enough looking at his team to finally be in that esteemed club of people. So here we go. Emery is in the building. So welcome to the channel. If you are new, make sure you are subscribing, smash a like and comment your thoughts in the comment section down below. What a week. What an absolute massive week we have all had. Justin, how are you?
Yeah, very good. It's nice to have a breather, isn't it? And then look at back at all these amazing results. And where we are, you know, it's a bit of a dream at the moment. I think we're in the middle of it, aren't we? We're in the middle of the tornado. So I think it's going to take a few weeks after the season ends to take everything in, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So we've got a lot to get through. We're going to go through all of the goals. We're going to have a look at the passing networks, the average positions. We're going to have a look at the key players who were absolutely fantastic. I mean, they were all fantastic, but I've picked four. You can probably guess which four that I've picked. And then, yeah, we'll have a look at all of the good networks and etc. So I think we've spoke about Emery this season of being elite. You know, we know he's elite. We know what he's done to our football club. But I feel like we're starting to now see the Emery effect, and we're starting to see it in big moments. So we've seen the Emery effect with signing some top quality players. We've seen the Monchi and Emery effect of bringing in young players and potentially for the future. So we've brought in some players like Nedeljkovic, Souza. Those players are currently still at their clubs, or one's gone to Plymouth on loan. So we're yet to really see those, but we've seen Morgan Rodgers come in. We've also seen the Emery effect of what he can do to like pros that have been playing football for a very long time, and on his elite level coaching of how he's improved every single Villa player. But we've also seen a new player coming in January, Morgan Rodgers, who has been developed, nurtured in a short space of time. And then the big Emery effect for me is the Emery effect in Europe and what he's able to do. And you might just look at it and think, okay, we've beat Lille. Yeah. Might be tired. We've then beat Bournemouth. But the Emery effect to manage the team is so important, of managing the team, of how they're travelling, how they're getting back, how we're preparing for this game, how our energy levels are okay. And I'm not just saying Villa said, right, let's get the coach to come. Let's get him to come through a different entrance. This is all on Emery, this is Unai Emery that's deciding this, because he knows the small margins and those little added percentages that can just improve a player over the course of a weekend, over the course of a game week. And I just think he's brilliant, because the final thing I'm going to say on Emery is his substitutions on Sunday, what minute were they? They were about the 80-odd minute, weren't they? You know, yeah. We made no substitutions until the late 80s. And these are the same players that went through all of that extra time, all of that travel. And this Emery effect, fair play to him, because he is incredible. Justin, thoughts on the main man?
I think you've run out of superlatives for him, isn't it? You know, as we said when he came in, we thought it was a very good appointment. We saw his track record. We saw what he was capable of as a man. But it's not until they land at your football club and you can see them day in, day out, and when you take as much notice as we do every day of every single tiny little bit of shred of media that they put out, you can start to build up a real picture of the man and what he's about. And then you start listening to him. And then you start watching his teams. And you know, as we've said multiple occasions, the transformation is, it's something so stark. I've never seen it before. I've never seen a manager have such a big impact in such a way on every single aspect of our football club as Unai Emery has done since he's arrived. And as you say, it's not just the coaching, it's every single, he was allowed to bring in everybody. You know, it was allowed carte blanche, really, to say, Rob, what do you need? And that's credit to our owners, as we've said multiple times, is, you know, when the Gerrard experiment failed, they had to go and come up with a plan to try and, you know, as an ownership of a football club at the level we are at and with the money they are talking about and the investment they made, it's a huge decision, isn't it, to go out there and say, right, you know, this is where we want to be, but we need somebody that can make those dreams a reality. And there's very, very, very few people, I think, in world football that are capable of doing what he's doing. And if I'm honest, at the start, I didn't think we could hit these heights, you know, maybe ever, because of how difficult it is to do what we are doing. You know, let's not beat around the bush. To be in the top four of the Premier League these days is almost impossible from outside of the elite six, if you like. So transformation-wise of the club, it's night and day. It's incredible. He is a unique man. And at his age, what, mid-50s, you know, he could stick around for 10 years. He could build a dynasty at Villa. And that's where I hope it goes now. You know, I really hope that this is his home. I think he feels comfortable here. He obviously feels loved here. And the way the owners have allowed him to do that, you know, it's allowed him that confidence that you know, he can relax and build us, you know. Yeah. So it's brilliant. You know, if this is 18 months, what's it going to be like 2, 3, 4 years' time?
I don't think. It's absolutely amazing. And I think that, you know, we've always said this, the biggest thing for Emery is he needs full control of the football club. And he's got full control. He will never have this much control at any other football club. And he's getting the results done, and it's amazing. And I was on the overlap at the start of the season, and Jamie Carragher said to me, he didn't think we could go for Europe. He didn't think we could go for the top four in the same season. Darren Bent was on TalkSport the other day saying that Villa should prioritise the Europa Conference League. And I'm just like, no, we do both. We can do both. There is no team in Premier League history that have ever played in that Europa Conference League on a Thursday and done what we're doing in the Premier League and being fourth in the Premier League. Playing on that Thursday, Sunday is absolutely one of the worst things you can possibly do because there's no turnaround. And we have only lost one Premier League game when we've played in Europe and back on a Sunday. And that is absolutely remarkable. And that's what I'm saying about this Emery effect as well, because he's able to navigate both. So when people are saying, you got to do one or the other, or you can't do this, you can't do that, Unai Emery doesn't do can'ts. He does we will, and he focuses on Aston Villa getting the job done. So I just wanted to touch on Emery first, because I think, yeah, he needs massive praise, which he gets every week. But yeah.
I think another thing I think which is very important, just thinking about what you're saying, what I've just said, is the last time a manager was given basically free rein, all I can think of was Martin O'Neill, and he wanted to run everything at the football club. And it worked for a while, but it eventually collapsed, and then the club said, we can't have this again. We can't have it that when one man runs everything that he can suddenly disappear and everything collapses. But this is totally different, you know. There's a connection there, which I think we've said before, which we felt under Dean Smith because of his Villa love. But I feel it's stronger now with Emery, and I never thought I'd ever say that. I never thought I'd say that, because the connection we had with Dean Smith was something unique that none of us had ever felt before. So to have a manager come in from abroad and have as strong, if not stronger, connection to us as a fan base shows how amazing the man is. And how inclusive he's been, you know, he's brought us all in on the journey, and he includes us every single interview. He includes us. He makes us feel like we're in that dressing room, that we're going out on that pitch, that we're a massive part of it. And it's brilliant.
I literally think he has improved the way I watch football. And that is the testament. And that is the only thing that you can say. He has taught me how to watch football properly, and
he's made it enjoyable, hasn't he?
I can't give him a bigger compliment than that.
Yeah.
Like, I thought I knew football. I thought I knew how to watch it. I thought I knew what to watch for. But what he showed me, absolutely amazing. So what we're going to do now then, we'll go into the goals. We'll have a look at the goals and then we'll get into the players and we'll have a look at the stats for the players then. So I'll run through the goals, etc. And then we'll just chip in and out of this then. So here we have then, we've got the first goal that Bournemouth scored. So I've highlighted this area here. Diaby, not a foul, is it? I don't think. But he goes down and we sort of lose our way in our shape a little bit. We can see Matty Cash is looking to go into that advanced area. Now, Matty Cash gives away the penalty, right? But I think this moment here makes him do that tackle in the box and it's rash. So what I think happens here is he loses this 50-50 here. And I think he knows he should have won it. And by not winning this little 50-50 here, he's thinking, shit, I should have won the ball back here and I didn't. He slides in here and he gives away the penalty. It is rash. And I think, oh, at the time I was thinking, please don't make this just look like a tired tackle. But, you know, we recover well from this point. So thoughts on the pen, Justin?
Yeah, I mean, it was an absolute stonewall nailed on penalty, wasn't it? And unfortunately for Matty, he's got that in him, hasn't he? He's got that. He loves a tackle, doesn't he? But I think if one thing he can probably improve on is his thought processes in really key points in the game, and that was one of them. You know, he could have easily, you know, the lad's done a lovely little chop back inside, and Cash has just committed himself, which happens, you know, and he was beaten basically, wasn't he? He was beaten to the ball by the player, and he's done a nice bit of skill, and he's gone flying in. It happens in football. This is what football's all about, isn't it? Mistakes. So I think sometimes he could just stand on his feet a little bit longer and try and jockey. Now, if he's jockeying him instead of flying in, the lad probably still chopped inside him. But by having a decent sort of, by having centre of gravity quite balanced, and he's just sort of standing waiting to see which way he's going, he could easily maybe then at least try and put a block in if once he's turned back inside, he's having to put in a shot in. He can maybe try and block it. But, you know, we're nitpicking, really. This is what happens, I suppose, in football. You know, he's put a bad challenge in and he's got punished for it. But it's just one of the things. But it was a nailed-on penalty.
One thing I love is when I feel like you've made a bit of a mistake, go and rectify it straight away. Yeah. Now, here we have Moussa Diaby tracking back, winning this ball back, and letting Leon Bailey be on his way. Fantastic, fantastic from Diaby here. And then next up, oh my God, what a world-class pass from Bailey. He's picked it up off Diaby. He's drove forward outside of the foot, played this wonderful pass into Morgan Rogers, and Rogers' touch here was absolutely sensational. But you know, Bailey here, I can't get over this pass. I think it's absolutely fantastic. And if we have a little look at Bailey's numbers for the game, you know, 53 touches, 86% passing accuracy, 6 key passes, 3 out of 3 long balls, 1 out of 2 dribble attempts, 1 out of 2 3 ground duels won. A brilliant, brilliant performance from Leon Bailey. It was absolutely unreal. I just thought this pass was fantastic. And Justin, talk to me about this. Talk to me about Morgan Rogers here.
Yeah, I mean, just going to that pass, I thought that was one of the best passes I'd ever seen when he put it in. And then he went and did an even better one in the second half, didn't he? That chop ball over the top to Watkins. But yeah, lovely ball. Saw the run from Rogers, who'd hugged the touchline and found a bit of space. But it still takes an incredible player to find him in that space, and he did. And then Rogers does what he's becoming very known for now. He's driving into the box. And then again, very similar to the Matty Cash penalty, he's shown a lovely turn of feet. You know, for a big lad, he's got a really good close control, and he's quite nimble, isn't he, in tight areas. And again, he chops back inside. And I think what makes this goal really good, and I think what allows him to score it, is that he's not only chopped inside, but he's took it very early after his, you know, the second touch is the shot, isn't it? He's took it inside and he's hit it early. and the keeper doesn't get a chance to set himself and try and make the save. I think it, you know, it just clips off the keeper's head and goes in the roof of the net, doesn't it? But it's, yeah, it's a brilliant, brilliant goal. And Rodgers is just, he's maturing like fine wine, isn't he? In a very short amount of time, isn't he? So, again, what's he going to be like in 18 months' time?
Absolutely unbelievable. So at this point, 1-1, and I'm thinking we're going to win this. There was no doubt in my mind that we were going to go on to win this. And then we get to see unplayable Ollie Watkins, who was so, so good. He has to, at this point, be number one for player of the season. He has to win that award. We've got 19 goals, 12 assists. And in this game, he didn't even score, and he was that good, and he showed you everything of what he's about. The hold-up play was at its finest. It was at its finest. But not only was the hold-up play, there was, like, dragging defenders left, right, and centre. So here, for our second goal, we can see Ollie Watkins has come deep. He's being harassed by the Bournemouth defender, and then he plays this little nice pass to Pau Torres. Pau Torres then gets on the ball and plays this wonderful pass into Morgan Rodgers. This goal is unbelievable. And it, again, we're highlighting Pau's pass from the back. We've got Morgan Rodgers picking up that space on that half turn there. And then what does Morgan Rodgers do? He plays a beautiful weighted pass into Ollie Watkins, who drives, cut back, and then he allows that nice little pass into Moussa Diaby. And that front four was just scintillating, electric. There was movement. There was power. There was precision. It was just absolutely fantastic. Every pass that went to a player in this move was forward, direct, of quality. And it was just thinking, we're going to score. It was a joy to watch this goal was. Because it had the hold-up play and absolutely everything. And just what a goal, Justin.
Yeah, it was, you know, incredible goal. It reminded me, for the older fans that are watching, of a goal we scored many, many, many years ago against Ipswich at home. I think it's on YouTube somewhere. Dean Saunders, Dwight York. It was a front-to-back move that the ball came across, and York's finished it very, very similarly to Diaby. But As a passage of play and a goal, you won't see many better goals. It had absolutely everything. Like you say, Ollie Watkins, for me, one of the best centre-forward displays, all-round centre-forward displays. Even without a goal, I've probably seen that Villa Park in my lifetime. You know, we knew the last player that I thought was the best all-round striker that we had was Benteke, because not only was he brilliant in the air, but he could hold the ball up, hold players off. He had a lovely bit of skill about him, and he could score goals. But Ollie Watkins, he's up there, right up there, if not past him now for me, because of his all-round game. He's improved unbelievably since Unai Emery's come in, which is allowing him now to do all the things that he's doing on the pitch. And to have players around him like the Diabys and the emergence now of a Morgan Rodgers, who feels as comfortable playing out on the left-hand side as a winger as he does sitting in the 10. I mean, that was... What he did there was something that I've seen Gordon Cowans do, one of the best passes of ball I've ever seen. You know, picking up space in the middle of the park to receive a ball, taking a touch, turning, but knowing instantly when he's received that ball, he's got that vision, he's got that picture in his head of the whole game, and he knows exactly where Ollie Watkins is, and he knows exactly where he's got to put that ball. But knowing it and then doing it are two different things. And he puts a brilliant ball into Ollie Watkins, who's made a fantastic run. Hasn't just stood there and admired his work and saying, brilliant, I've held the ball up, I've laid it off, I've turned and I've gone again, and I've made that run. He's been found. And then Diaby's in a brilliant position, but it's an incredible ball across. You know, he hasn't got to break stride as Diaby, you know, and he's got to play at the exact moment where he's not offside because he's making that run. And it's a good finish as well, because, you know, you've seen those missed, you know, and he's took it pretty comfortably on his right-hand side and slotted it really nicely past the keeper. So as an all-round team goal, you'll do well to find many better goals than that, honestly. Incredible.
Well, you say that, Justin. We scored another one.
No, we did another one.
And it had Ollie Watkins, Moussa Diaby, and Leon Bailey all involved in the same move. And it was absolutely scintillating football. So let's have a look then. So we've got, again, Ollie Watkins, great hold-up play. But this time, you're thinking, I ain't passing it this time. He rolls the defender and drives on from this moment. Then finds Moussa Diaby, who takes up a great little position centrally. We then play a nice little reverse pass back in to Ollie Watkins, who rounds the keeper. Note Leon Bailey's position, just like against Arsenal, unmarked back post, driving forward. And then Leon Bailey sticks that one away. And this goal, I don't know which one I prefer, actually, because I think this one's really, really good as well. It's just got great movement. And at this point, we're purring, aren't we? And every creative Villa player that gets on this ball is thinking, I'm going to do something here. And I'll take you now to like the average positions of the game for Aston Villa. And I've highlighted Villa's front four. And it was a front four because it was just so dynamic. And I just thought they were all absolutely brilliant and they all played a massive role in getting this game done. But do you know what I felt when I was watching it? I felt like they were really enjoying themselves. And I think that, you know, for this a game where you're thinking, God, they might be tired, they might be stressed, they might be feeling a bit of pressure, to go out and look like they're having fun, like, it's amazing. And I think that's confidence. And I think that's where we are as a team now. It's just, like, we know they don't deal with pressure. It's an opportunity. So I think with that in mind, we're a very dangerous team now. We form going into the last four games plus the Europe games as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's when we saw the team news drop, you know, like I said, I think on the after match, you know, Emery woke up and chose violence, didn't he? Went front four, let's just go for it.
That's a good saying, Justin.
Let's just go for it, you know, let's just really, you know, we need to win this game. We need to you know, be on the front foot. And those front four, when you see those four on the team sheet, you think, and then you're hoping for what we actually saw. So what in my head I wanted to see was all four rampaging, running all over the place, picking each other out, making really good runs, scoring good goals. And that's what happened, wasn't it? It was a brilliant, brilliant performance that was just something that I haven't seen for a very long time down Villa Park. And you know, Ollie Watkins, I'll say it again, Ollie Watkins, that was one of the best performances I have seen for a long time. And I picked up, there's a tweet here from a Bournemouth fan, and he said, Ollie Watkins is some player. Zabba has been absolutely immense for us this season and no doubt will continue to do so. But my word, Watkins was on a different level that second half. Zabba couldn't get nowhere near him. So, you know, that is testament to how good he was yesterday. And then we got those three. I mean, you know, usually we pick, when everybody's fit, you know, we've seen Tielemans and McGinn playing in the advanced roles in midfield. And then you place one of the attacking players off Watkins, you know, like a Diaby or a Bailey. So to have four of them as attackers against a decent Bournemouth side in good form, I don't know. It's just incredible, isn't it? It's just incredible.
It's amazing. Right, so some of the stats from the game then. 56% possession for Aston Villa. We had 482 passes, 84% passing accuracy. Bournemouth had 368 with 83% passing accuracy. Dribble success for Villa was at 46%. We lost possession 116 times. I lost it 104. 38 duels won for Aston Villa. 6 aerials won. 12 tackles. 2 interceptions. So what I want to show you now, which I know a lot of you do like. So I showed you the average positions on my tactical pad. So there we've got the average positions from a Villa point of view. We can see the heat maps down that right-hand side for Leon Bailey. We've got Moussa Diaby's heat map. We've got Ollie Watkins and we've got Morgan Rogers. Front four was unbelievable. McGinn had a really good, solid game. So did Youri Tielemans, who goes completely under the radar every single week because he's just doing absolutely fantastic things. We had no Douglas Luiz in this game as well, which is just mental that a player of Luiz's calibre isn't playing and We don't miss him. We've won two games without Douglas Luiz. That's mad in itself. You know, he got that suspension and we're thinking, oh, man, don't matter. I've said it all the time. Well, it doesn't matter.
Well, at the start of the season, if I said to you that we're going to be missing Douglas Luiz and Boubacar Kamara, two of the best double pivots in the game, and we're still going to be motoring, you wouldn't have believed me, would you? You'd have said, crikey, we can't, you know, those two are so important to our team, you know, and they're so good at what they do, you know, shielding the back four, but also launching attacks. To even contemplate not having both of them in what was two really, really tough games would have been incomprehensible at the start of the season. So it is just testament to the rest of the squad that it's not, like you say, no excuses mentality. Just get on with it, lads. You're all good enough. Go and beat them.
Definitely. So here we have the passing network for Aston Villa. The thicker line means that pass was made more times than the thinner lines. But I'm going to say this as well. I think this is one of the best passing networks I've ever seen from Villa, because every single player is involved. There are triangles galore. You can see the shape of the team. You can see that McGinn's sort of screening that back three. You can see the front four just involved. And sometimes you might see one of the players in a front four that sort of just off it and not really in that network. Whereas this one, everybody is heavily involved. We've got a lot of players inside the Bournemouth half. We've got width here, and it's just absolutely fantastic. And we'll have a look at the Bournemouth one. So you can see the Bournemouth passing network compared to Villa's. You can see that it's not as dynamic. It's not as expansive. There's not as many.
Positionally though, Luke, that's very similar to ours, isn't it? If you look at it.
Yeah.
Where the players are sort of, you know, sitting, picking positions up.
Yeah, their shape's not that far off what we do, to be fair. No. And that the thing is about Bournemouth, they are a very good football team. They are coached
very, very
well.
Isn't he? Yeah, he's really
good. They press well. They have energy. And he reminds me a bit of a young Unai. I don't know. He just looks a bit like him as well, I think.
Well, they were born very close to each other, weren't they?
Yeah,
I think something in the water in the Basque country, because these coaches that they're bringing from there is incredible.
I think he's going to go far, Iraola. Yeah. I think in the Premier League as well, it's very difficult for teams that are, say, bottom half Premier League to have a proper identity, because and you have to be strong with your identity and believe that it can work. And I think Iraola has been able to do that, and he's been able to sort of grow as the season goes on. And I think his style will develop, and I think they'll get better and better. And I think they're going to be a really good team, Bournemouth, next year.
I think the problem for Bournemouth is keeping hold of him, isn't it? That's the problem.
Yeah. And it's probably keeping hold of Solanke as well. I think that's probably going to be one of the big things for them. So, yeah, all in all, a fantastic game for Aston Villa. And I think we've put ourselves in the best position we could possibly be in to attack this Champions League. And for me, I don't care whether Spurs have got two games in hand. It's all about points on the board. You know, they've got to win their two games just to be level with Aston Villa now. And I'll look at their fixture list. They've got Arsenal, they've got Chelsea, they've got Liverpool, they've got City, they've got Burnley. That Burnley game's not easy, because Burnley have now given themselves a lifeline of staying in the Premier League. So with whatever's happening at Nottingham Forest, that's all caving in. So I think that game's tough in itself. They've got Sheffield United. So from a Villa point of view, we're in a great, great position. And I still think we're going to do it. I think we're going to do it. I think there's a you know, that you look at them Spurs games now as well, and there's pressure on them to even be level with us. And look at the teams that they've got to play. And I know we've got to play two of the teams that they've got to play, but
that's at home.
I fancy us at home against Liverpool. I just really fancy us and I think we've done as at this moment in time, we've done as much as we can to get to where we want to get to. So, how are you feeling about like the Champions League?
I think I looked at it last night, and I mean, regardless of where we think we'll finish, the facts of the matter are now we're 16 points ahead of Newcastle and Man United in 6 and 7. So mathematically, we need one more win. I mean, the maximum points they can both get now is 68. So, you know, even if they won every single game now, it's probably impossible for them to catch us. So the worst we can finish this season is now 5th, which guarantees us a second European adventure next season, regardless of what happens for the rest of the season. So now it's for me, it's a two-horse race between us and Spurs for that 4th position. And we are in absolute pole position. Yes, we've got a couple of difficult games and a couple of difficult away games to come, but we can navigate them. I'm sure we can, you know, and we, you know, Spurs are a very funny side. They've had some really good results against the top teams this season. So I'm not going to totally rule out that they can get points in those tough games, but they tend to throw an absolute spanner in against the you know, the worst sides. So it's all to play for. We couldn't have done any more since we lost to them 4-0, and they were in absolute pole position to get that 4th place. And everyone was like, oh my God, that's it now, we're done. Since then, it's been incredible, you know, and our form has returned, you know, the early season form that did desert us for a little bit. I think he's almost back now. We saw that with Yesterday's performance. It was absolutely magnificent. You know, the second half against Arsenal was unbelievable. We ground it out against Lille to get through in what was a tough, tough game. And then we've put on a very, very good showing now. We've got a full week to recover. I think you said to us on the group chat that he's given him a couple of days off, which is great. Get them back in, get them buzzing for Saturday against Chelsea. I think one more win in that game and I think we're almost home, because then we'll be 9 points clear of Spurs before they play again, and it puts huge pressure. I mean, I like cricket and they all say scoreboard pressure. You know, you look up that scoreboard and see the opposition have put a huge score up against you. It doesn't matter how good you are, that pressure is going to tell. Again, the best players in the world will crumble under pressure, so we're in a brilliant position, and then let's go win the cup as well.
And then one, I'll touch on Spurs, but one more thing I'm going to say. Adoji's out for Spurs for the whole season as well. The left back that's so integral to the way that they play, bombing on, making up that front five, whatever, from left back. So he's out for the season. So that is a huge, huge blow for Spurs. And Villa are just now getting back into form. I mean, our form now in the Premier League is looking pretty, pretty good, if I can find the form here. So, you know, our form's looking good, you know. Our form's
looking
good.
Yeah, we're only, 10 points of the last five games.
You even look at it here. I mean, after that Spurs defeat, we beat Ajax, drew to West Ham, beat Wolves, lost to City, drew to Bournemouth, beat Lille, beat Arsenal, went through against Lille, beat Bournemouth. That form's very, very good now, and it's what we want to see going into the last four Premier League games for Aston Villa. So,
well, we're pretty much at 2 points a game, aren't we? You know, since he's been in. So, I mean, if that carries on for the last four games, we're going to get another 8 points, and we'll be, no one will catch us.
Yes, yes, right. So that's us for today. So happy about the Villa. Fan cams were brilliant yesterday. The fan cams were, I'm probably saying that's one of the best fan cams we've ever done. So go back and check that one out if you haven't already, or check out the shorts that we do. Follow us on TikTok. That TikTok's popping off at the minute. But yeah, absolutely buzzing. And up the Villa.
Up the Villa.